Welcome to Health Cetera's podcast. Healing comes in many forms, and some of them are culture-bound. However, because the nation's investment in medical research has gone mostly to technological and pharmaceutical interventions, traditional healing practices and remedies are thought not to have science undergirding them. In recent years, more and more Americans have begun to accept holistic remedies as legitimate medicine, something the majority of the world has done for centuries. In this podcast, Barbara Glickstein, public health nurse and co-director of this program, explores traditional healing practices among Mexican Americans with Carolyn Ortiz, a doctoral candidate of nursing at Villanova University's M. Louise Fitzpatrick College of Nursing. Ortiz grew up in a bicultural and bilingual household on the border of Mexico and South Texas, where she learned a great deal about traditional healing practices of Mexican-American women, such as her grandmother. This interview first aired on Health Cetera in the Catskills on WIOX Radio on June 9th, 2021.
This is Barbara Glickstein for Health Cetera in the Catskills. Growing up, I heard stories about ways that my maternal grandmother, an immigrant farm woman from rural Poland, approached taking care of my mother and her siblings. One was how she used brown paper on cuts and bruises and tied it with a string. She told them the brown paper had healing properties to close wounds. She also made poultices, often out of cooked cabbage, and applied it to their skin. And she made oils that she would put herbs in. My mom didn't remember what they were. So as a child, I thought I was curious about it, but I knew they were very poor, and that's probably why she did this. And then as an adult and a registered nurse interested in so many more ways that different cultures brought their healing practices into their homes, I learned more about Eastern European healing that was used by my ancestors. And for this knowledge, I am grateful. Today's guest is Caroline E. Ortiz. She's a registered nurse and associate professor of holistic nursing at Pacific College of Health and Science, and a doctoral candidate in philosophy in nursing at the Villanova University's M. Louise Fitzpatrick College of Nursing. She also has graduate degrees in community and urban public health, and you'll understand more and more as we speak with her today. Hello, Caroline.
Hi.
We've been friends and colleagues and have worked together on projects, and your story is one that I wanted to share with this listening community about what you now, as a doctoral candidate, and someone who's committed her life to health and wellness and your own culture and your people, to share that story with us today. So please start this story where you'd like to begin.
Thank you so much. And I'm so excited to be able to share my story. And it actually will pick up very similar background to what you just shared about your grandmother, because I have a very similar story on how I kind of got into this. I grew up on the border with Mexico in deep South Texas, on the coast of the Gulf. And my family background is mostly from North Central Mexico. My mom, who is a nurse, when we would get sick, she would take us to the pediatrician. But because she was often working and we would stay with my grandmother, who lived a few blocks away, if we got sick and we were with her, she would either take care of it herself by having us pick some sort of herbs from her garden, or she would use a lot of rubbing alcohol on our feet. And if it was something, I guess, she didn't feel comfortable addressing, then she would take us down the street to the local healer, what in our culture would be known as a curandera, which is a traditional healer. As a kid, I didn't know the difference. I just knew that it felt really nice to be taken care of by my grandmother or by the healer who was a friend of hers and a friend of the family. And if I went to the pediatrician, it was a completely different experience, but it was normal, you know, for my mom and for sort of that side of the healing. But similarly to you, and it gives me some pause and I would say a bit of sadness to say this, that my attitude toward that traditional healing and those practices was often from the perspective of, well, it's because they don't have a lot of money, and it's what they do because they can't afford to go to the doctor. They can't afford to seek real medicine. So they do what they can at home with the different herbs and bushes and branches and stuff, and a lot of prayer. But to me, it was very similar to what I would call superstition or wishful thinking, that, you know, maybe it'll help, but because they didn't know much better and they couldn't access a lot. Well, fast forward many years, when I became a nurse in that, still in that region, actually the curandera was one of my home health patients. Not for long, because she passed soon after, but my working as a nurse in that area was very much my trying to bring the real medicine to my community, or what I thought was that real medicine. I was very ignorant, and I will say that with a capital I. As I was introduced more into this world of what else can we do for health and real healing, because of so many of my patients in that area who had very limited means, they would show me these bags of bottles and pills and ointments and, you know, canisters that they used for their, you know, for whatever their medical problem was, but they just didn't look healthy. So many of them just didn't look much better. And often this question of what else can we do for health, or is this it, never really left my mind. But as I went on to grad school and moved away from home and met so many people like you are one of them, and so many others that very generously contributed to opening my world, truly, to teach me that there are many, many other things that we can do for health and healing. And sort of the biggest pivot has been when I went to back to when I went back to school for my PhD, which I'm in the process of doing now, and was asked, so what do you want to study? What do you want to research? And it should be something that you're going to love because you're going to have to live with it for some years. I really had no idea. I knew I wanted something in the mind, body, kind of holistic health and healing arena. But I also wanted to focus on people from my community, say the Hispanic community or, you know, Mexican American community. And then it just hit me like a ton of bricks after months and months of not being able to figure something out. That question of what was it that my grandmother was doing? What was it that the curandera down the street was doing? And with that background that I had gained in traditions from other parts of the world and other cultures, and the indigenous science that really underpins so much of that as being not at all just superstition and wishful thinking, but was truly this mind, body, spirit, emotion connection. What was that looking like in my own community, in my own tradition, and my background being Mexico and Mesoamerica? And that really was sort of the turning point that has led me down a whole other universe of excitement and love, really, for not just the medicine, but for the people and the civilizations that came before me and those that continue to push it forward and practice it today.
You have chosen to do this research in the communities that you were raised up in, and also did that early home health care. What population are you interviewing? And if you can share a little bit about the frame of your research as so community-based, which is to go with the people and to learn from them and with them. Can you share a little bit about that?
No, absolutely. What I wanted to know are, what are people still doing now, specifically women of Mexican origin that are 2, 3, 4 generations in the U.S.? I want to know, how does this medicine known as curanderismo, how does it live on? Not just in those that brought it over from Mexico, but subsequent generations, and women in particular, because in our culture, as in many traditional cultures, it's the women who take on that mantle of caregiver in the families and who are seen as the advice givers within their communities, both for medicine and how to care for, you know, emergencies, but also how to care for such natural practices such as pregnancy. I want to know how this traditional medicine lives on. And obviously it has, you know, from what I've read, it has changed and continues to change, but it also continues to fill a gap in the communities that is, depending on the parts of the country where you're at, can be seen as kind of scary, a little bit underground, and I don't know if that's right kind of thing, to an out in the open medical practice that is as sought out by traditional cultures and communities as, you know, Western biomedicine, as a doctor or a nurse practitioner might see in their clinics.
In the
so
in the part
such a journey.
In the part in the other, the one extreme of it being frightening and perhaps underground, what are you learning the fears are? Is
the
it is it access to the herbs or people being stigmatized about their about what they believe?
It is a stigma. What I have found, and to be very blunt, it has this reputation in some parts of the country, specifically where I'm from, in sort of the South Texas area, as being evil, as being witchcraft, as something that is against belief in God, is playing with black magic almost. And admittedly, some of the practitioners that call themselves traditional healers may not be the most reputable people, or may not actually have in-depth scientific knowledge of the work that they do. And again, that's also quite different from some of the traditional healers and the attitudes toward the medicine in other parts of the country, say New Mexico.
It's so interesting to me, the accusations of black magic and witchcraft and this mystery that is so powerful that it's to be feared. We certainly know historically and all over the world, women have been accused of that. But I respectfully understand that even within the traditions of all of our traditions, there are those who maybe are taking advantage of the situation. I'm going to guess those are limited, and the rest is part of this, the mystery of healing, the mystery of the spirit, of all of the ways that thousands of years of tradition have been evidence enough in many circles without perhaps the same clinical trial research that we've become to believe is the only way that evidence exists. What would you say to that, Ms. Ortiz?
No, absolutely. I completely agree with you. It is what I'm talking about, you know, the things to fear, the people that may be less than reputable are few. There are still so many teachers and practitioners in curanderismo that have this amazing knowledge that they've carried on from their teachers and their teachers' teachers and whole lineages. Knowledge about herbs, knowledge about the psyche, knowledge about the connection to the natural world and people and relationships between communities and they keep that alive. The really amazing part of it that I'd really like to share is how much of being a part of community is in the medicine. So much so that in ancient Mesoamerica, a lot of the healing would not take place in isolation, say in a clinic type setting. A lot of the healing and rituals and ceremony would actually take place in the plaza, the town squares, and couldn't really get started until every member of the community was present and in support and participating in the healing. So it truly was this communal acknowledgement that every member of that community was valuable.
That's amazing.
And they didn't even have a word for disease. Their word was imbalance or disharmony.
I know that you're now in, you know, involved both in as an educator and doing your research as a doctoral student. How would you say, I'm sure it's a complex answer, but part of it, how has this changed you by reconnecting in such a deep way to your early childhood experience with your own grandmother and the healer down the street, to being a scholar in this area and growing scholarship and contribution to the understanding of the ways of your people in terms of healing and being a part of it? How has it changed you?
That journey itself has been almost as important, if not more important personally, than just this academic exercise and the research, because it really has been almost this, I'll say apology, but a recognition of the love and the care from my grandmother's hands, from the healer's work, and me apologizing for thinking that it was, you know, kind of crazy superstitious stuff. I admitted I was a kid, and that's kind of all I knew, but it has been this cherishing of this gift that I really want to move forward and share with other healers and bio, you know, doctors, nurses, therapists, other practitioners, to see sort of the beauty and the wisdom and the value in this traditional medicine, how it is so holistic, and how it continues to be practiced, even if often it's not talked about outside of the local community. And you know, research tells me that it is not. People aren't mentioning it to their practitioners. Their practitioners aren't asking about it from their patients, yet it's alive and well. And it has so much for us to learn from. And us, I mean, you know, Western practitioners, there's so much of that of in that medicine that I think would really enhance our own practice for our own wellness, but our own attitudes toward health and well-being and what that could look like, what true healing could look like.
Caroline E. Ortiz is a registered nurse and associate professor of holistic nursing at Pacific College of Health and Science, and a doctoral candidate in nursing at Villanova University's M. Louise Fitzpatrick College of Nursing. She has graduate degrees in community and urban health, and her journey on discovering true community and true healing and health continues. Thank you for joining me.
You've been listening to a podcast of Health Cetera in the Catskills. For more podcasts and discussions of important health issues and policies affecting health, go to Health Cetera's website and blog at www.healthmediapolicy.com. That's www.healthmediapolicy.com. This podcast was produced by Diana Mason, Barbara Glickstein, and production assistant Kai Volsey.